FM.
Where did you find out that?
I read the abstract.
It's implausible deniability.
Oh, yes, it is. And science, it seems complex, but Stella's going to make some sense of it for you. Morena, Stella.
Morena, Karen, how are you?
Good. I'm catching up with myself. Yeah, so busy out there, is it?
Yeah, it is. The whole of Princess Street is blocked off for parking if you were going to go into the city. And specifically park on Princess Street, just so you know.
Yeah, why do you think?
It said event.
Event.
I'm not sure what we're talking here.
No.
But yeah. Hey.
So where have you parked? Way, way away.
So far down Princess Street, it's not even funny.
All right, you had to run.
I did. I was really huffing it.
Deep breath, nice glass of water. Right, this is a good subject, biomimicry.
Yeah.
Simply because I'm imagining that, what was it? Liquid silk that Spider-Man ejected.
He did.
From his wrist?
Famously. no wrist ejection here, but I thought I'd talk about biomimicry because there are kind of so many examples of it in our everyday lives that you don't really think about. It's a concept that's very simple, which is imitating structures or sometimes even processes in nature in man-made things. So the logic goes that if evolution has continued selecting for that design, it must be effective because it's led to the survival of a species in one way or another, which sounds slightly abstract, but it gets very obvious when you look at things like Velcro, which was inspired by the tiny hooks on burr fruits. You know, if you've ever gone hiking and they'd stick to you.
Was it?
Yeah. So that was inspired, and we came up with Velcro.
It's a wonderful thing, Velcro.
It's really helpful, and I never really thought about how helpful it was. There's a lot of examples of that throughout this. Looking at nature to try and see what we might be capable of as our own discrete species, because obviously we're part of nature, it's not a new concept. For instance, Da Vinci's flying machine sketches were famously based on bat wings. So that's biomimicry. He didn't obviously invent it in the end, but it's a philosophy. It's not actually a super discrete thing. And so there was one example in the news recently that we've alluded to of a more novel product of biomimicry, which is researchers being inspired by Spider-Man to use moth silk from moth cocoons to create web-slinging technology where you shoot fluid from a needle that then instantly solidifies as a strand and then it adheres to objects.
What for?
Exactly.
Why do you need this?
You don't need this. We might. I don't know. I can't think of an application.
Superhero.
Fun. But I'm actually a big believer in science just for silly goofiness.
Isn't that silly string?
You're less adhesive than silly string, I'd say. Though if you ever have used silly string, it seems awfully adhesive.
Is silly string, when it's in its container,
yeah.
Is it a gun or something? What is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's an aerosol, right?
Aerosol, yeah.
Is it? Yes.
So what is it liquid in there?
It must be
in
there.
It can't just be.
Just a string.
No, it absolutely cannot be anything else but liquid.
I'll investigate that. I'll cut one open and see what's going on.
Like a jack-in-the-box. Poing!
All right. But for the Spider-Man thing, as I said, they didn't use the famously strong spider web or spider silk for this. They went for moths. But that's more because the web-slinging idea was secondary to another project where they were investigating making very strong adhesives using silk. And then the researcher noticed a web-like material in the bottom of the glass after work on that project and then had the idea to do it. I was also reading what components are put into the mix to make the web slinging possible, and I found another example of biomimicry within this example of biomimicry, because the article said that they'd added dopamine to the web solution to make it harden on contact with air. So dopamine is a hormone, as we know. In this context, though, it pulls water away from the silk itself, which then speeds up the transformation from liquid to solid. So it's liquid when it's in the little needle thing that they put it in.
Versatile hormone.
It really is. I then did a bit more digging as to why dopamine was even around as an idea for these researchers in the first place, because I only know it in a neuroscience context. But dopamine's used by barnacles to create the fibers they use to stick to things, like the hulls of ships, which is really interesting.
Hang on. A hormone is used by barnacles to adhere to the hull of a ship.
Yeah. Or anything.
Rocks.
Famously.
things that have are at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, and I also found out during that, side note, if you're eating breakfast, don't listen to this, but I found out that barnacles can grow in your flesh, which is absolutely horrific.
Well, stick to you and then grow.
Yeah, if you have a cut or something and you're deep sea diving, they can grow.
Really?
I was so horrified when I learned that.
Hurt. I guess
it
would
very much hurt, I feel. But yeah, so that's...
You'd have to be dead, wouldn't you?
You'd hope.
Really, okay.
Oh no, it really freaked me out.
You could possibly be alive and let that happen.
Hopefully not. Hopefully you'd notice before things got really dire. But yeah, so that's another place where humans are kind of investigating.
I know a few people who look like they've got barnacles adhering to them and they're very much alive.
No names. No names, Karen. Yeah. But yeah, that's another place where humans are kind of investigating something which is already going on in nature and then to use ourselves. I did a lot of reading and I was quite surprised that no lame scientists like me that I've come across, at least, has made the joke that dopamine is for two different types of bonding. Aww. Because it's the love hormone. It's also the sticky hormone, apparently. But I've done it, so there we go.
Is it the love hormone? Isn't it the anticipation?
It's the feel-good. It's the feel-good hormone, which I guess promotes the feelings of love. Oxytocin is the love hormone.
But isn't dopamine like the hormone that's the anticipation of the great event?
I mean, yeah, it's like feeling excited, feeling...
Right, leading up to it.
Yeah, leading up to it, okay. But it's also released when good things do happen.
And by barnacles.
And by barnacles to get sticky, which is, I don't know. But there's a lot about adhesives in biomimicry. I think, people are very inspired also by lizards. That's less moved along in the field, but people are definitely looking at geckos and wondering how they do that.
Do what?
Stick to walls when they walk.
Oh, they're not sticking though, are they?
I guess they must be sticking. It's the semantics of it all.
Are they climbing upwards?
They're climbing, but they somehow...
Adhere.
So, you know, it's a flat surface, but they're getting up there.
Maybe they don't have anything to do with gravity.
Maybe we should explore that possibility.
Someone might know that. How come lizards can climb up a wall?
Is it adhesives?
Would it be adhesives?
I guess. Well, I should have looked into that. No, yeah, look.
Right.
I'm not a Gecko expert.
5395.
Spider-Man expert. But yeah, biomimicry can be used as a method rather than just as an end product as well. For instance, a really famous example is an American biophysicist who developed the concept of what he called biomimetics, which is really the same thing as biomimicry. And also around that time, the word bionic came up. So bionic was originally intended to be this kind of concept, and then it got accosted a little bit by pop culture and, robot humans. But his point with this was that it's really more of an outlook on a problem-solving method rather than a discrete category of subject matter, like you can apply it to any sort of science. And his use of the concept was the development of the Schmidt trigger. His name is Otto Schmidt, which, you know, makes sense. You probably don't know it by name, but it's responsible for the functioning of things that you'd really hate to be without. So it's really important for electronics. It's an active circuit that then converts analog input signal into digital output signal. So musicians, you'd really like this guy for this invention, and we wouldn't have a lot of the things that we have if it weren't for it. And the way that he designed this system was biomimetics. He was studying the nerves in squid. So he was trying to engineer a device that then replicated the nerve propagation process in squid. Propagation here means how a nerve impulse travels along a neuron rather than making new nerves or neurons. That was a very, very famous example, and he came up with one of the kind of terms of the concept of biomimicry.
Mind-bending.
Truly.
How do you examine that in a squid? That's another question I shouldn't really ask you.
I guess the ethics of that? Let's not get into it. It was in the 50s, so it wasn't probably very nice.
Just chop it up and look.
Yeah.
Have they got nerves that run? I suppose you can see them.
I guess you would be able to see them. Yeah, you definitely see the nerve structures. Neurons, absolutely not. Those are microscopic, of course. But I guess maybe they would have put electrical pulses through the squid post-death. I don't know how they do that.
Posthumously,
yes, exactly.
It's not funny.
Okay. Not funny. It's very sad for the squid. But yeah, he was looking into that. I don't know how you, I'll be honest, I don't know how you get into biophysics. I don't know what's going on there, but he sorted out a lot of modern electricity for us as a result. So thank you, Otto Schmidt.
Thanks, Otto.
Very helpful.
That it then?
That's it then.
Okay.
I'm sure there's plenty more.
Right.
Text in 5395 if you know an example of biomimicry.
Yeah, there must be heaps of them.
Yeah, all sorts.
If only I could think of them right now.
It's very common in engineering. If you know, there's a lot of shapes in nature that are very strong naturally. So, you know, you'd look at that and go, okay, how can we make that into buildings so that we can mimic how strong it is?
And you have to be very, well, not very observant, but a wonderful mind when you're looking at something and think, I'm going to experiment and see how that translates to a human, in a human sense, or what we could use.
Yeah, I think it's one of the more exciting and creative philosophies in science, because I think people do forget that science isn't a homogenous lump of ideology or methodology and that kind of thing. And I like it when we can draw out the philosophy of it all.
And nobody's texted in with any examples.
Well, I guess there's
definitely
not many then.
What about you? You're going to run back to your car, and then what are you doing for the rest of the day?
My friend's just come back from Japan, so I'm going to go see her.
Oh, that's good. It'll be a nice day.
Yes, she promises me a Miffy doll. I love Miffy.
A what doll?
Miffy, the little rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
She's so adorable.
You've got Miffy. She's got you a Miffy from...
She's got me a Miffy from Japan.
Oh, that's nice. Right. It'd be nice if I knew what it was. I have no idea. It's a little rabbit. What are you going to do with that little rabbit?
I put it in my room. My flatmates and I were obsessed with a claw machine last year in the supermarket that had a bunch of Miffies. Long story. We all have a lot of Miffy dolls as a result.
Look up Miffies. Right. And the track that you've picked, it's got beautiful video, this Waxahachie track. Really lovely, the video with MJ Lenderman.
Yeah, she's amazing. I really liked that Tiger's Blood album that she released last year. And she's also really funny. I keep watching podcasts with her, and she's very hilarious.
Yeah, she's clever, isn't she?
Yeah, she's very, very intelligent.
And super clear thinker.
Yes, clearly. Well, the lyrics are cutting.
Well, no, I mean in terms of, I think she's given up alcohol quite
some... Oh, yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, she is on a sobriety.
Although she doesn't hammer at home, but she does,
no.
You know, she talks about how it's impacted her life, which is interesting. I watched a video with her talking about that, and just seemed like a very bright, clear person.
Yes.
And this particular video, because it's so beautiful, it's her and MJ Lenderman on a boat on a lake.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's just blue screen. It just doesn't even look real.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. So thank you for choosing it, and let's play that, and I'll leave you to go and get your Miffy.
Thanks, Karen.
I'm going to look up Miffy and see what that is. Thank you. See you next week.